This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وبعد, inshallah, we'll continue from where we left off yesterday in Surah Fussilat, and I stopped at ayah number 22. And this part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out the punishment of those who don't, who refuse to listen, to what's being said. The surah that is pointing out the importance of performing da'wah as articulately as possible, which is how the surah began and what the surah focused on at the beginning of it. The second part of it is that listening is obligatory, it's mandatory. Not listening is a reason for punishment. It's not acceptable for someone to refuse something without giving it the benefit of the doubt, or at least allowing the argument to be presented to them, and for them to look at it logically, rationally. And when they debunk it or refuse it, they refuse it based on an argument that is stronger than it, or that makes more sense than it. And not doing that is reason for punishment. And then the surah altogether will say, da'wah through character is just better. Meaning, if it just, it's more meaningful, it goes farther, and it lasts longer. But not listening is reason for punishment. And this is a problem. This is a problem because it goes both ways. Just like when we, exactly the way we expect people to listen to what we have to say. Meaning, when you're performing da'wah as a Muslim, you expect people to listen, not to take Islam based on propaganda or based on reputations of previous years or what media told them. They deserve from you the same benefit of the doubt. I'm not asking you to go and consider other faiths. What I'm talking about is the importance of when we refuse something, when we take issue with something, we take issue with it based on listening to what their arguments actually are, and not going by what the media tells us or what we were told culturally that this is what they do or this is what they think. So we have a perceived notion of their characteristics that is not actually based on fact or truth. We do it to others, and then we don't like others doing it to us, and that's not fair. That's just unfair. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wasn't like that. Alayhi salatu wasalam was very knowledgeable. He understood exactly the people, exactly what they believed in. All those who lived around him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was very aware of what their faith bases were. He understood. And we owe it to ourselves to do the same. Muslims have always historically been educated on faiths in general. They understood exactly what it is every group of people believed in. And as Muslims today, we can claim that we understand a little bit of how Christianity works. We can claim we understand a little bit of how Judaism works, but we don't really know much outside, beyond that. We don't really have that education. And my teachers, at least, and this is my experience, were quite well adversed in the discipline of religions and faiths. Meaning, they knew about faiths, what faiths would say about themselves, not what the cultural reputation was about them. They had listened to the actual arguments, and they looked at these arguments just as they look at their own, and they accept Islam based on the fact that it makes most sense to them. And that's the way this is supposed to be. If you don't do that, you're actually putting yourself at danger. You don't understand, but that's what you're doing. Not knowing what exists out there, you're vulnerable. You believe in this for now, until that argument presents itself at a moment where you're struggling, where you're where you are vulnerable, and then because you didn't actually look at it the way appropriately, you didn't observe it and you didn't analyze it and take the time to understand it and compare it to what you have, it can come to you at a moment where you're struggling with something and it can flip you. And I find this to be the problem for a lot of Muslims, is that we love our faith, but we base our faith on emotion, on compassion, and on inheritance. And that's not enough for a faith to stand. It's just, a faith can't stand that way. You're building your faith on something that is very weak and wobbly, and it can fall down at any moment. Which is why Fussilat is so, it emphasizes the point, you have to listen. You have to listen to what's being said. And then when you hear it, you process it and you make a decision based on what you're hearing, You expect that from the people that you're speaking to, and it's expected of you. And people who don't do it, they don't do it out of fear, because they're scared to why are you scared? Muslims aren't afraid, because a Muslim follows al-haq always, always. As a Muslim, you always follow al-haq. You always go after what is right. Whatever righteousness is, whatever it is, you follow it. And I spent a large chunk of time last year, similar moments after Fajr, explaining to you from Tutu Zukhruf when he says, "Qul in kana lil-Rahmani walad, fa ana awwalul 'abidin." Say, if the Lord, if the Rahman has a son, I'll be the first one to worship him. If there's evidence for it, if you can prove that this thought makes any sense, then I will be the first person to say, where is the son of God, and I'll worship him. This is what the Quran says. And it's within the same group of surahs, by the way. It's in Hawamim. It's just a few surahs down the road. From Ghafir to Al-Ahqaf, these seven surahs, they give seven pieces of advice as you perform da'wah. Seven pieces of advice. If you perform da'wah, you have to know seven things. Things to do and things not to do. Surah Fussilat gives us both. Things to do and things not to do. Make sure that your da'wah through character is emphasized. And make sure that you give articulate teaching. Articulate. And that you listen. Just like you want the other person to listen, you must listen as well. So these ayat, the last two, these two pages that we're reading, focus a lot on the importance of listening, and that the senses that you have are there for a reason. Make sure you absorb with them. Just like you expect the others to do that, you do it yourself. So the passage that we're in, that we talked about yesterday, or recited yesterday, when the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come, yawm al-qiyamah, they refuse the testimony of everything and everyone around them, and they will only accept testimony from themselves. Their senses will start to testify and bear witness against them. And they will ask their skins, لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا? Why is it that you are testifying against us? You are us. We are trying to protect you. قَالُوا أَنْطَقَنَا اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made us speak. الَّذِي أَنْطَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. He can command everything to speak. وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. He created you the first time around, and we all return to him. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ. And the ayah goes and says, and that you didn't see that coming now, did you? You didn't see that piece coming, that your own body, that your own senses are actually records against you. And you think that you, yourself, can be used against you on the Day of Judgment, which is the only thing that you think is actually going to be protecting you. But no, even yourself will be used against you. And everything that you did is actually recorded somewhere inside of you. And it'll be brought to life, yawm al-qiyamah. And the last piece, which is what we're going to start reading today, is وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ. The real problem was that you assumed, ظَنَنْتُمْ, أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْلَمَلُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't really know everything that you were doing, or most of what you were doing. You thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't care. That no one was keeping record. That just no one cared. It just wasn't relevant. And we'll recite the verse that comments on that thought, inshallah, together. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وذلكم ظنكم الذي ظننتم بربكم. أرداكم فأصبحتم من الخاسرين. فإن يصبروا فالنار مثوى لهم. وإن يستعتبوا فما هم من المعتبين. وذلكم ظنكم. And that, indeed, that assumption that we have just spoken of, ولكن ظننتم أن الله, and you assume, the problem was that you assume that Allah does not know a lot of what it is that you were doing. وذلكم ظنكم. See that assumption of yours that you had. الذي ظننتم بربكم, that assumption that you had about your Lord, thinking that he didn't see and that he didn't care and that he was not keeping record. أرداكم. That was your pitfall. That was your demise. That's where you made the mistake. As you went along, that's where you made the mistake. You assumed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know a lot of what was going on. They didn't care, didn't keep record. That assumption there, that's the one. That's where you slipped up. أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And because of that, today, you're in a losing state. مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, amongst those who are losing, the losers. فَإِنْ يَصْبِرُوا. So if they show perseverance or patience on that day, فَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ. If hellfire is going to be their final destination. وَإِنْ يَسْتَعْتِبُوا. And if they appease their Lord, if they appease Allah, or if they ask for another chance, or if they ask to be sent back to do well, to do it right, to do it differently, فَمَا هُمْ مِنَ الْمُعْتَبِينَ. They will not be offered that next chance. I mean, it makes no difference. You want to be patient, وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. On that day, you want to be patient? Be patient. You're still going to Jahannam, وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. You want to go back? You're not going to go back. So do what you want. It doesn't matter anymore. At this point, making the right choices means nothing. Because in dunya, had you yasbiru, had you shown perseverance, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The perseverance on the day of judgment will be given their reward, and there will be no hisab. There will be no accountability at all. You don't stand at all. There's a VIP. You just keep on going until the end, right? To the gates of heaven, if you're a perseverant person in your life. On the day of judgment, you persevere, it means nothing. In dunya, tastatib, you ask for another chance. In dunya, you ask to be pardoned, you appease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you turn back to Him, say, I'm going to do it better next time. It's accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts repentance immediately. The doors of repentance are the only doors that are never closed. Every other door will open and close. The doors of hibba, and the doors of ata, and the door of rizq, they open and close throughout your life. The door of tawbah never closes. It's open 24/7. Until your spirit is as far as your throat, or the sun comes up from the west. Until then, you can always repent. So these two actions that in dunya are actually very, very lucrative. They're very beneficial. They're beautiful. You do them, you get so much. You get such a bang for your buck. If you do perform any amount of sabr or perseverance, or if you ask for another chance, or you repent, then immediately you're accepted. On the day of judgment, He's saying, do one of them, do both of them, do neither of them. No one cares. فَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ. You're going to the same place. And you're going to, وَلْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The person will stay there regardless. And that's the problem with us. We think that because we have freedom of choice, that it's real. It's not real. Because it's temporary. Anything that's temporary doesn't really seem real when it comes to rights. I don't think any right is meaningful if it's temporary. If you think about it, if I'm only free for a number of years of my life, and then after that I'm going to lose my freedom, then that's not really a right, and it doesn't really mean anything. So if, just taking that by that basic concept, all that we think we have right now is temporary, because Yawm al-Qiyamah is revoked, it's taken back. We lose it, we don't have the ability to continue to do it on the Day of Judgment. So that means it's not real, it's just an opportunity. It becomes just a window. Here's a window where you can do some things you're not going to be able to do later. That's going to be taken back away from you. So maybe just use the time that you have right now. Use this opportunity that you got. See, we're all going to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all going to show the best of ethics. We're all going to have the highest degree of iman. We will all make dua. We will all praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will all embrace and engage in remembrance and invocation. You will do it all. The question is just when. That's all it is, just when. You get to choose, really what you and I are choosing, just when we're going to do it. When do you want to do it? Want to do it now, where it counts, or you want to do it then, where it doesn't? But it's going to happen either way. You have no way around, there's no way around it. We're going to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to show sabr, as the ayah pointed out. And we're going to repent, as the ayah pointed out. And as Surah Ghafir pointed out, fad'u, we'll make dua. And all of it will happen. All of the beautiful actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do in dunya, and He added reward to all of them, are going to happen yawm al-qiyamah, but they're going to happen yawm al-qiyamah with nothing attached to them. And if you want to be even a little bit more concerned about this concept, Yawm al-Qiyamah can go as far as 50,000 years. It's relative. The length of Yawm al-Qiyamah is not the same for every person. May Allah make it short for us, But it's not the same. Some people, it's like rak'atayn khafifatayn yusallihima. Like you're praying two quick rak'ah before fajr and then you're done. And some people will stand for 50,000 years. If you live, now let's say that we're on a scale somewhere, all right? Because from between 2 minutes to 50,000 years, right? Let's say 70 years. Probably closer to this side over here. Pretty good. In comparison to 50,000 years, 70 is not that bad. I would say 70 is, if we're moving on a scale, the closer you are to Allah, the shorter it is, the farther away, the longer it is. I think 70 years is pretty, 80 years is not that bad. I mean, it's way better than, on average 80 years is pretty good. 80 years is a lifetime, a lifetime. Someone who didn't do that bad in dunya end up standing a lifetime. During that lifetime, he'll persevere, he'll make dua, he'll perform tawbah, he'll invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll risk 80 years. A full life parallel to the life you lived. Imagine if it's a little bit more. Let's say 100 years. More than you lived. You spent more time yawm al-qiyamah doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to do in dunya for a longer time than you lived in dunya, actually. But it's not going to be accepted. You understand how sad that's going to be for so many. Maybe sad that they're going to stand there. You lived maybe 75 years. But then I spent 200 years just turning to Allah. That's all I did. Because on the day of judgment, there's nothing else that you can do. You stand there, you're quiet. You're not given permission to chit-chat. There's no food, there's no drink, you don't rest. So you just stand there and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping that maybe if you persevere, he'll accept your perseverance, because perseverance is important. Maybe if you perform tawbah, he'll accept it. Maybe. Nothing's accepted. And you spend maybe twice the time of your lifetime doing it. What a horrible deal. What a horrible deal. Because you lived for, imagine if you just spent, you lived for 75 years, you didn't have to spend all of it standing and praying and repenting and showing perseverance. You just had to do a little bit of it. There's a specific portion, do it properly. But you didn't have to do the whole time, but no, yawm al-qiyam, there's nothing else to do. There's nowhere else to go. There's no other activities that are planned for that day. You're just standing there turning to Allah, hoping that the end is not going to be at the wrong place. And it could be longer than your lifetime. Imagine those who stand for 50,000 years doing that. Imagine if we pray a rak'ah, an hour and a half a night for a few nights, we feel that we're saints. Someone's going to stand there and pray for 50,000 years. Nothing. Nothing. The malaika rate, nothing at all. He just revert back to, they go back to what he did in those early 70 years. He's probably saying, I've been around for 50,000 and 70 years. Can we just ignore the first 70, please? The other 50,000 were amazing. I was amazing. I didn't sit for a moment. I asked for nothing. I complained not once. I just prayed the whole time. Just ignore the first 70. Sorry, that's the only ones that count. The only ones that count. You understand this? This is what the ayah is trying to say. They can persevere. It's not a still. When you start, when they ask for another chance, there are no second chances. It isn't a video game. You don't respawn somewhere else. This is it. You get one chance. Either you live once. Huh? You live once. I know they use that for the wrong. You live only once. You get one shot at this. That's it. You get one shot. There's no second chance. You do this right. You do this right because you can't go back and do it again. Really weird how they take that. I find it really, I don't understand. They take that and they twist it. You only live once, and they use that to go do something. What are you talking about? You live, exactly, you only live once. What are you doing? What are you doing with it? How are you going to defend this one chance? You knew it was one chance to begin with. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salama. We're going.
وَقَيَّضْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَاءَ فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ. فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلُ فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ من قبلهم من الجن والإنس إنهم كانوا خاسرين.
And now he moves on, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he points out in life what was happening. وَقَيَّضْنَا, and we assigned for them, or assigned to them, or had assigned to them. قُرَنَا, those who were companions to them. Qareen is someone who's always there, parallel to you. اخترنا الشيء بالشيء means something is being associated with something else. So Qareen is an associate, someone is always there. If you're there, then they are there too. قُرَنَاءَ. And this is referring to two types of qareens that the Quran talks about. شياطين الإنس والجن. Talks about those of ins, meaning your companions of human beings that are associated, that you associate with, or that whom are associated with you. And the qareen of jinn, meaning shaitan, who will always be around you. For as long as you are doing well or doing a good thing, shaitan is there to make sure he has a say somehow. Or he'll try somehow to poke a hole or make it seem less impressive, or try to get you to maybe add a bad intention somewhere there. He'll try to mix it up for you so that it's not sincere, it's not meaningful. He keeps on looking. Alayhi la'natullah, he can't tell. He does not like to see an act, a sincere, selfless act of any sort. It bothers him. He needs to make sure that he mixes it up or messes it up somehow. So these are the Quranat that you have. These are the ones you're associated with in your life. I tend not to understand the concept of qareen in the Quran. This is my take on it, and the scholars have different takes on this, so you're welcome to embrace whatever take you like. I don't tend to see that you have a specific jinn that is always there, but that's not how I don't tend to take that understanding of it. I'd rather see that, yes, obviously Iblis will assign someone to continuously harass you and try to perform waswasa. And that's as far as they go. This is the waswasa that they do. They continue to put something, bad ideas, bad thoughts. Shaitan is really not more powerful than a fancy catalog holder. That's all he does. He just stands there hoping that he shows you something that you catch the nafs eyes. And then when the nafs gets preoccupied or it is taken by something, it sees something it likes, then it gets focused on it, and then you're struggling. That's why you're standing in prayer like, stop thinking about this stupid... Why is it that you start asking yourself this question? Why am I thinking about this one thing that happened a year ago and I don't care about? It's because shaitan needs anything, any hook. Just think of something. Just don't think of Allah. Just don't think of your sin. Just don't think of something productive. Think of something useless. That's as far as shaitan goes. He really has nothing more. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. His plot was always weak. He's smart. He knows what to show you. Like, he knows what to put ahead of you so that you're bound to pick up on something. His hooks are many. So one of the things he shows you'll be attractive enough that you hold on or stick with your nafs if you haven't learned to get rid of that. But he doesn't really have any more powers than that. The nafs and your whims and desires, they do the rest. They just kind of continue this charade. But the shaitan doesn't go beyond that. Actually, the worst of the qareens are the shaitan al-ins. Shaitan al-ins is way worse. By far, Shaitan al-Jinn is pretty, he's not that significant. He's pathetic if you want to compare him to Shaitan al-Ins. وَقَيَّضْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَا. We had assigned to them in their lives, or associated with them in their lives. Companions, associates. فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. And they alluded them to feel that what they were doing in their lives and what they did before was good. زَيَّنَا means make it look good, even though it's not. Zina, the concept of zina, is something isn't very nice, so you bring adornments and you make it look nice, but it's not actually nice. But it seems that way. فَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. The person who has their bad deeds adorned for themselves by Iblis, and then they look at their bad deeds and it seems to them that they're good, even though they're not. So فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, meaning what they were doing at the time, moving forward, وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, and the stuff that they did before, like in their past. And because of that, حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلُ فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ, and because of that, they deserved rightfully to go to the same place that the nations of jinn and ins before them went to. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ, indeed, these are the ones who are losers as well. So these two verses, if you look in a row, ayah 23, then 25, they're defining what it means to lose the Yawm al-Qiyamah. To have the wrong assumption of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and the second one is to allow the associates to elude you. Shaytan al-Ins is way worse. Say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-rajim, and the shaytan al-jinn leaves. When shaytan al-Ins comes to you, say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-rajim, and see if he leaves. Now, he won't leave. Yeah, shaytan al-ins, the associate from ins, from the human beings around you, a bad friend doesn't leave with a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-rajim. He doesn't leave with anything. You can do way more than that, and he still won't go away. And if he or she is perseverant and persistent enough, they will stick around until they get you to do the one thing that you know you shouldn't be doing. And shaytan al-jinn isn't that powerful. He just isn't. He'll run away the moment you start pick up a Quran and start praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He runs. Shaytan al-Ins doesn't. So when we listen to these verses, just understand where the power actually is. Understand where the danger actually is. The actual danger is not really shaytan al-Jinn, it's ins. That's why he pointed out the end here, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The umamin in nations, qad khalat min qablihim, that have lived before them, min al-jinni wal-ins, from both, from jinn and from ins. Because the qareen, the concept of the associate, is not just for jinn, it's actually for both. It's in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. He points this out, subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in the Quran, that the qareen is both shayateen, al-ins, wal-jinn. But this verse here, in the midst of all of it, is pointing out what I was trying to say, what the surah is going to say in the next page. Da'wah with character is much more meaningful for both ways. Both ways. Meaning good da'wah with character is more meaningful, and bad peer pressure with character is just as bad as well. It's character that affects you. It's people's behaviors around you. It's the people that you associate yourself with. They're the ones who are going to affect you. And that's why da'wah through character is more meaningful. Because when you're behaving in a certain way around people, it actually affects them way more than what you have to say. What you have to say to them doesn't really, obviously, they can hear parts of it. They may not listen to it, as the verse has pointed out. A lot of people don't want to listen. But behavior and character, that totally lands. And for both, whether you're doing good or you're doing bad. And this ayah here took just a moment to point out that bad character has horrible consequences. The Qurana, the associates that they had in dunya, are the ones who eluded them to think that what they were doing was good when it wasn't. That's the biggest problem. It's one thing for you to know what you're doing is wrong. It's another thing for you to be doing it and thinking it's right when it's not. How do you save someone like that? How do you fix it if they can't even acknowledge that what they're doing is wrong? It's almost impossible. You're at a point where there's nothing you can do besides wait and hope. That at some point that adornment falls, the zina falls off, and the person can see what they're doing is wrong. And then maybe if they see that, there's hope for them to accept da'wah and repent and go back. But if they can't, if they're convinced that the wrong thing that they're doing is right, how do you fix that? فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, what they're continuously doing moving forward, وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, what they did in the past. Because if they didn't zayyan for them the past, then they could look back and then have remorse. Say, well, that was wrong. Maybe if that was wrong, then maybe what I'm doing right now is wrong. So the associate has to make sure that what you're doing right now seems right, and that what you were doing before also seems right. Because if you figure it out, if you see the hole, if somehow the zina falls off and you're not eluded anymore, then you know. And there's hope that you find your way back. But they didn't. وَحَقَّ عَلَيْهُمُ الْقَوْلِ, and they deserved with that. So all what the nations of jinn and ins before them that made these mistakes deserved, and they're all in a state of loss on the Day of Judgment. Nas'Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salama. This is a very important verse. Because in the midst of the surah that's trying to explain the importance of da'wah with character, this ayah here has to be there to show the flip side of the coin. The flip side. It doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 10, 15. You could be 70, 75. Bad friends are bad. If you associate yourself with people who are negative, who are toxic, who have bad characteristics, who have bad habits, who have bad thoughts and bad behaviors and bad words, they're going to rub off on you. They're going to affect you negatively. It doesn't matter how, you don't understand, like even very elderly people will have the same problem. It's just when you get older, you just don't have as much time to spend with people and a lot of your friends die and leave and so you end up a little bit more alone. So you don't spend as much time, but it's just as bad. I've seen people well in their 70s. Meet a friend they haven't seen in a long time and I see something spark, I'm like, oh my God. When they were younger, they must have done. Because you know immediately that it doesn't go away. The influence we have upon each other doesn't stop at any point. Be very careful. Be very picky. It's okay to be very picky with whom you spend your time. That is your right. That is your obligation. It doesn't really matter. A lot of other stuff doesn't matter. Like your possessions, what type of car you drive and what house you live in and what clothes you wear. All these are just details that no one cares about. No one's going to remember this stuff. No one's taking notes. I can tell you that. No one's taking note. If they take note today, they won't remember it. No one cares. So don't be too picky on these things and then spend your time, which is the most valuable currency that you have, with anyone. Choose very carefully who you spend your time with, because this is the most valuable currency you have. This is what you've got. This is your capital. This is what you are. You and I, we're just time. We're just a chunk of time. And every moment that moves on, we lose a chunk of ourselves because we lose a little bit of time. So since that's the most valuable thing that you have, that you can never get back, because anything you buy today and you sell, you can get again. You can just get it again, but you can't get back a moment that's gone. The moment that's Salat al-Fajr that we just prayed on the second day of April of 2023 will never come back again. You can never go back and fix that and change it and make it. No, it's gone. It's done. The way it is. Whatever you put into it is what's going to be in it. There's nothing you can do. But if you don't like something, you can sell it and buy something. Possessions are meaningless. But time, choose wisely who you spend your time with. We'll finish the prayer, inshallah, explain it and let you go.
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ فَلَنُذِيقَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ النَّارُ لهم فيها دار الخلد جزاء بما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون وقال الذين كفروا ربنا أرنا الذين أضلانا أضلانا من الجن والإنس نجعلهما تحت أقدامنا ليكونا من الأسفلين.
So he says, وقال الذين كفروا, and the disbelievers in general, what they said was, لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن. So here it kind of becomes a bit more clear what the theme of the surah is and what it's talking about. لا تسمعوا, don't listen to this Qur'an. Don't listen to it. This is what they would say. They would say these things to people coming into Mecca. Tell them, don't listen to this gentleman here. And they would call him names, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Very, very disrespectful descriptions of him, alayhi salatu wa sallam, and very inaccurate as well. And they would tell people, don't listen to him, because he will cast a spell on you with his words. Here's what they used to say. He'll cast a spell on you with his words. And they would convince people that that's what's going to happen. So people would be afraid of hearing him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's coming to say, here's what I have to, don't speak. And they would run away. And people, like At-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi, was one of the known scholars of his time. He was a poet. He was a person of knowledge. He was one of the Sadat al-Arab, one of the nobles of the Arab. They kept on telling him, beware, beware. So he put cotton in his ears. And then as he was walking around the Kaaba, he's like, what am I doing? He's speaking to himself, Ya Tufayl, ajununt, you lost your mind? Ajununt, kahuwa kalam? You see, just saying words. And you've read all the literature in the world. You're scared of a few words? What's wrong with you? So he pulls the cotton out. I know, maybe they were right, because he listens to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he accepts Islam almost immediately. So maybe they're right. Or maybe what makes sense. Or maybe what lands, and you just can't deny it's a force. It was an undeniable force, the Quran. It was an undeniable force, unstoppable at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So why it takes so long? Because they wouldn't listen. It took long because they wouldn't listen to it. That's why if you take the graph, you just take the graph of the Muslim population and you look at what it looks like of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's life. If I just trickles along, 100, 200, it comes down, it goes down a little bit and then it comes up again and it trickles along. And then at some point you just go, pew, it just skyrockets within a year. So you go, what happened? What happened? Hudaybiyah happened. That's what happened. Hudaybiyah brought a treaty of peace where people could listen. Because the idea was, لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Don't listen to what he has to say. Why don't listen to what he has to say? وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. Drown it out. Drown it out. Just say anything. فَيَأْتُونَ بِالنَّضْرِ بْنِ الْحَارِثِ. The man by the name of Nadr ibn al-Harith. They would bring him. As Muhammad speaks, speak. As he tells, and he would stand with for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to say something, he would come up and he starts speaking as well. Telling the stories, because he was a gentleman who had traveled to Faris and Rum, and he had listened. And he had a lot of fables. He had learned fables, and he had learned. He was cultured, so he'd wait for the Prophet. And he would say, "Mal farqu bayni wa bayna Muhammad? Huwa yani yuhadithukum biqasas, wa ana uhadithukum biqasas. What's the difference between us? He tells you stories. I tell you stories." Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would stand there, and he would just drown it out. Don't let people hear it. Don't let people hear it, because once they hear it, what they're going to be? Is it cast a spell? No, it's going to make sense. وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ وَاي لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. Maybe you'll prevail. Maybe you'll win. Maybe if you just make enough noise around it, people won't be interested in listening to what it has to say. Just do that. And subhanAllah, that didn't really change that much, did it? It didn't change at all, actually. Actually, that's the only way Islam is held back. Just make a lot of noise around it. Just make a lot of noise, a lot of propaganda. Just make it look bad, just so that people don't listen to what it has to say. Because once you listen to what it has to say, once you actually take a moment, take a step back, calm down, and hear what the Quran is trying to teach, why? Why wouldn't you? There's no reason. It's very easy to accept this. Straightforward. It's very pure. It's simple. It makes sense. There's nothing. There's no clutter. There's no extra issues you have to believe in that you're like, my cognitive dissonance is giving me a headache, but I'm just going to accept it anyways. That's not there. Your mind and your heart open up. Perfect. This gives me a worldview that aligns with everything. It explains it all. It makes it all very clear to me and simple. It gives me ease. It gives me serenity. It gives me clarity. It gives me purpose. So what did they say? Just don't listen to it. وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. لَغُو is saying words, nonsense. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْيُ. Just drown it out with nonsense. So maybe you win. The known story of is told to us by Abu Sufyan himself. He said, I used to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he used to pray in his home in Mecca. This is time in Mecca. That he would wait until it was nightfall, like it was nighttime, and it was very dark, and he would go. And I don't know if you've seen how houses are in some parts of the Middle East, but they have backyards that are walled around. Like it's a wall, so it's a hosh. Especially in Damascus, that's how the whole, they're beautiful houses. You have like a bit of a backyard, and it's nicely fenced around so no one can see. And there's bushes on the outside. So Abu Sufyan would go and he would sit in the bushes outside of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's backyard to hear what he was saying. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was standing in the backyard and do qiyam al-layl. Ya ayyuhal muzammilu qum al-layla illa qaleela. He would pray most of the night, except a little bit of it. Nisfahu, half of it. Aw inqus minhu qaleel, maybe a little bit less. Aw zid alayhi, or a bit more. And they recite the Quran slowly and clearly and enjoy the Quran. So that's what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. That was his obligation at the time. So Abu Sufyan would go and he would stand there to hear the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Sufyan knew that this was something different, but there was too much obviously going on in his heart and his mind that held him back for many years for whatever reason. And analyzing that is important, by the way, but it's not for today. So he's doing it, and then as he's sitting there, it's very dark, and he's listening to the Prophet alayhi salam. He bumps into someone. He's sitting in a bush under outside of a person's backyard, and he bumps into someone. So he looks, it's Abu Jahl. And then Abu Jahl, who is being bumped into by Abu Sufyan, tilts over and bumps into another person. And it's Abu Bukhturi ibn Hisham, and all three of them are sitting there. What are you doing here? They don't have much of an explanation. I just want to hear what he has to say to prepare. لَإِن رَأُوْنَا لَيَقْتُلُنَّنَا If the people see us, they will kill us. We're telling them that this man is everything, and we're sitting here like rabbits outside of a bush listening to him at night. فَأَقْسَمُ الْأَيْمَانَ الْمُغَلَّظَةَ أَلَّا يَعُودُ And they stood and they agreed and they swore heavy oaths that they would never do this again. So Abu Sufyan is like, well, we swore the oaths. They're not going to come back tomorrow. So he came back tomorrow and he bumped in the other two again. So they said, what did we say yesterday? So they swore again, and they said not to come back again. And then each one thought, okay, no one's going to come back. And they bump into themselves a third time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reciting the book of Allah. And then they stopped doing it. But this is what they had, this is what they were doing. Why? Because it was different. It delivered. It fell exactly where it needed to fall in their brains and their hearts. They heard something that was different. The meanings, the teachings, the values, the principle, the art. Profoundness of it just beat them. They had never heard anything like it before. They are the people of literature. They have qasaid. They have pieces of poetry written in Kaaba with the water of gold. They used to memorizing poetry was a big part of an Arab person's life. We don't do it anymore. And for good or for better or for worse, we don't do it anymore. I'm not sure what it is, but I prefer that than whatever garbage people are memorizing today, Yani. But at least that will teach you a language and teach you some degree of, Yani, give you a vocabulary. But these are the people who understood how they had command of a language. Their linguistics is what they help. That's their pride, is their linguistics and their ability to describe and to articulate. And they're hearing him say something, alayhi salatu wasalam, that they'd never heard before. It just, they could not understand it. They couldn't characterize it. They couldn't categorize it. They didn't know what it was. But it was beautiful. They needed to listen. They wanted more. But they didn't want people to want more, because if people want more, then people are it makes sense. So what? لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن. Just don't listen to it. Why don't listen to it? And don't be afraid of arguments. This is what I tried to explain. And people, of course, came to me with questions. This is what I talk about. Never, ever. Don't ever not listen to science. Don't ever not listen to an argument, ever. Why wouldn't you? What are you scared of? Tell me, what are you scared of? What are you scared of? What is the fear of learning something? What's the fear of hearing an argument? There's no fear. We have nothing. We're not afraid of anything. Throw whatever facts you have, throw them at me. By all means, there's nothing to be afraid of. Ilm and other, it doesn't make a difference. If you are confident in what you have, if you're confident in your creed, in your faith, in your belief system, then nothing, you're not afraid of what other people have to say or what they think. The Prophet ﷺ would tell them, come, let's debate, please. Bring your, what's the best that you got? Bring me the best you got, but listen to me. But let me speak too. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. What he was asking for, خَلُّ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This is the phrase, let me speak to people. No. They would come and they would do ja'ja. They would make all this noise. This is, and our Aliha and our Islam and our fathers. And then when he came to speak, they would walk away. لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ Drown it out. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ Maybe you will prevail. They won't prevail. فَلَنُذِيقَنَّ And then these two verses here are very vicious and very heavy. فَلَنُذِيقَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا We're going to make sure that the disbelievers will taste, by all means, عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا A severe punishment. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ And we're going to give them, we'll compensate them. أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ We're going to compensate them for the worst things that they did. A Muslim on the Day of Judgment, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with you, He will compensate you for the best things that you did and He'll forget about everything else. Everything else we'll throw away, we'll just brush it away, act like it wasn't there. What are the best things your best moments? What were your best moments? 1, 2, 3, 4. Those best moments, you're going to be rewarded as if those were the only things you did. We're going to forget about all the other mediocre stuff. Give me your best moments. We're going to compensate you for your best moments. so that in Jannah, psychologically, you're happy too. You're not being compensated for mediocre stuff that you're a little bit ashamed of. You did them, but you're not too happy about. No, we'll compensate you for the best of what you did so that your pleasure is real. And the disbeliever on the day will be punished for the worst of what they did. أسوأ الذي كانوا يعملون, the worst things, compensate for the worst stuff that they did in their lives. ذلك جزاء, that is the compensation, that is the reward. أعداء الله, of the enemies of Allah, النار, it's the hellfire. لهم فيها دار الخلد, they have within it an eternal stay. دار الخلد, an eternal stay. جزاء بما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون, compensation for how they denied our signs. This is not the first time that he said this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the surah, right? Go back to ayah number 15. He said that once before. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. They denied the signs. It made sense to them. It was clear. They heard them. They heard the verses. They saw the signs, but they denied them. They didn't want to. They didn't want to listen to it. They saw it, but they observed it, but they didn't want to see it. They heard, but they didn't want to listen. And they denied that which was clear to them. And that was the consequence. The last verse just takes us back to the ayah وَقَيَّضْنَا. It's like at the end of this passage, because the verse that we start with next week, you all know the verse that we start with next week. And if you don't read them, just make sure you do. These verses that come next are probably some of the most famous ayat in the Quran. Some of the most famous verses in the Quran recited. And if you go to read, if someone asks you to read Quran in any given event, if it's not a marriage, obviously, because marriage, we run to Surah Al-Rum. There's no other verses in the Quran that we can do. But if you go to any other event, then these are really good choices. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمْ, these are amazing, amazing for salah. They're beautiful. They're very meaningful. And you'll figure out, inshallah, finally exactly what they're teaching, because they're talking about da'wah with character. But right before that, at the end of the passage, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, the ones that were assigned associates, and the associates alluded them to think that what they were doing, what they did before, was meaningful when it wasn't. And that caused them to be punished like all the nations before them of jinn and ins, and they were in a state of loss. At that day, what will they say? رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, أَرِنَا الَّذَيْنِ أَضَلَّنَا, show us the two types of people that misguided us, meaning the shaytan of jinn that would do waswasa, and the shaytan of ins, the peers who actually brought me to where I am right now. And the one who brought their crappy character to me, and I actually followed, and I took parts of it, I embraced him my own, and I took it, and I adopted some of what they were doing. أَرِنَا الَّذَيْنِ, show them to us, the two, الَّذَيْنِ, it's talking in Arabic, the two. الَّذَيْنِ أَضَلَّانَ, the ones who misguided us, مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ, from both jinn and ins. نَجْعَلْهُمَا تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِنَا, so we put them under our feet. Bring them to me, Ya Rabbi. I want to stomp on them with my feet. لِيَكُونَا مِنَ الْأَسْفِرِينَ, to make them the lowest of the low for what they did to us. Where's the answer of this verse? Where's the answer to this verse? There isn't. There isn't. No one cares. Is what you want to do? Yeah, no one cares. Too late. No, it doesn't matter. Do that in dunya. Maybe not exactly like this, but you understand what I mean. Don't step on people today and cause problems. But the idea is clear. If those who are misguiding you from shayateen al-jinn wal-ins, get rid of them. Because yawm al-qiyamah, you'll be up in arms. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Let me show them what they're worth. No one's listening. There's not even an answer of yes or no. Some questions in the Quran of Ahl al-Nar, there's an answer at least of yes or no or be quiet. No, this is completely ignored. It's an ignored claim. And the ayah just moves on to the next passage. It just moves on to the next paragraph altogether. Because it's not even worth talking about, but it's showing you. This is the feeling that happens yawm al-qiyamah. Prevent that feeling by making sure we make the right choice. And we listen in dunya the way we're supposed to. I hope that was a benefit to you. We'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanallah, bihamdika, shukran, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.